face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's it again.
Shoot it!
Peter Kalorn in the slot. God. A shot deflected by Lindell over the net. Here's Blake Coleman right circle. Back at the right point, Shattenkirk.
Shoot! Score! Quick little shot from Shattenkirk.
It's 3-0 Lightning with 4:44 left in the first.
I thought it deflected off somebody.
Lindell again.
What's that?
Lindell again.
Yeah, I think it was Lindell. You're right.
Esposito always on top of things.
Listen to Esposito at the beginning of this clip.
Yeah.
Like just yelling.
That's it again.
Shoot it!
Peter Kalorn in the slot. God. A shot deflected by Lindell over the net.
Got a little Zolak in him.
Yeah,
if you're, you know, if there's a night where there's, like tonight, where there's really nothing that maybe you care about on, try to find the Tampa Bay broadcast of the Stanley Cup Final. At some point, I get they're not playing tonight, but they played last night, the Lightning 1-3-2, if you're interested. Because Phil Esposito is completely just, he doesn't care.
It's watching a game with your drunk uncle. It's like you kind of like it sounds like even at times he falls asleep, and the reason Mishkin yells so loud is to wake him up so he can comment on what just happened.
Yeah,
and I mean that's and you heard that right there. This is your uncle.
Again, shoot it! Peter Kalorn in the slot. A shot deflected by Lindell.
Because Esposito's relationship with Tampa Bay is kind of interesting. Is that he takes credit for bringing the team there, and then he was shoved out.
He was a horrible boss. Yeah,
yes, and he hated the organization, but somehow now he's the radio color guy.
Tampa Bay felt so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why Tampa Bay feels bad. He single-handedly ruined that organization for a decade.
Well, he doesn't think that, but nonetheless.
Awful. He's like, well, you know, I brought it here.
So he'll do the games, but he's not there a lot. Like, he'll leave the booth. It seems like he leaves the booth, or he's not watching the game.
Right.
But now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals, so he just, like, moans and groans during it.
Yeah.
They've got the NHL has to hate that you have these two Southern teams.
Oh, yeah, because no one cares. I don't care. I just kind of hope Tampa Bay wins to get it out of their system.
You see, I care because of Anton Hudobin, because after that speech at the end of, you know, when they won their conference.
We're not going home!
How do you not root for that guy?
Plus, I hate Sagan, and I think if there wasn't a bubble that and Sagan, by the way, has done nothing. But I can't stand him. I mean, he really, really, as a professional athlete, screwed that team. I mean, in 2011, he just was just awful. The way he behaved and the way he didn't take the playoffs seriously. I don't care how old you are. That's what your living is. That's what you work for. I don't understand not putting your whole effort into a playoff run, but...
What did Chiarelli famously say? If he would have given us half of Kane, we would have won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. And Kane's no choir boy. I'm not asking the guy to not go out and have fun. I'm just saying, don't have a guard in front of your room. Just show some sort of professionalism. At 18, Jesus, I went to rehab at 45. But I showed up for work for the most part, especially during the books. Fall book, I was here for the most part. But, I mean, seriously.
Well, a bunch of started.
No. For my history. Fall book, I'll be here. Don't worry. Even if I relapse, I'll be here. But it might not be great. But I won't babble on about personal things like I did that one time.
But you're right. I mean, the Sagan era ended in questions about effort. And
right. It was effort and taking it seriously, which is inexcusable. Nonetheless, So Flutichin's out, and this transcends hockey. So save. I know the Celtics are in the playoffs, and the Patriots. This is just brief. Because I read this in The Athletic, I like Flutichin Zawa. It says it has a tier of trade things that the Bruins would do, and this transcends hockey. So it says, don't bother calling Brad Marchand, McAvoy, Pastrnak. We all agree. Make it faster, I'm hanging up. John Beecher, the kid they took in...
First round pick.
Jack Stanika and Jeremy Swayman, who is a goaltending prospect, who I did not know about.
Swayman played at Maine. He was a finalist for best goaltender in the country. He's apparently one of those guys.
Good, because they need that in the pipes now. Yes.
Well, they have a few goaltenders in the pipes, it appears. And then the third tier is all listen, but I'm not really listening, Bergeron, Coyle, Halak, Rask. So the Red Sox were never going to trade David Ortiz. They were never going to. David Ortiz was going to retire a Red Sox, and I put Bergeron in that category. I don't think there's any way that you let Bergeron leave.
Unless he has to. Unless he, come, like Bork did, goes to management and says, you know what, you guys don't have a chance of winning. I'm at the end of my career. I'd like one more shot at this.
I would fault Bergeron for that because he has won a cup.
I'm not saying he'll do it. I'm saying that would be the only example.
I would get on the air and fault Bergeron for that because I would say, ride it out with this franchise. You've been around all this time. You're going to get your number retired. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. Just stay. I mean, there's no reason for you to leave. Now, Chara could leave, and I wouldn't have a problem because Chara didn't come up with this organization. I don't think Chara would play for another organization, but who knows? He might be some Yager guy that just, you know, wants to play.
Well, he's already said he wants to play.
No, I know.
He wants to play with the Bruins.
No, I wonder if he would play for another team, but I wouldn't care if he did. Because, A, I think they might be better off if he's gone.
Patrice has to have a no trade, right?
I'm sure he does.
He does. It's modified, but yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. But I would be very upset if the Bruins moved Bergeron without his acquiescing to it, or if they kind of put pressure on. Because I think that's a guy that needs to stick with the organization. And Brady and Belichick, and that's a whole different situation going on in football. But with hockey, I think that he's an Ortiz-type guy that you keep him. You don't move him. He's earned that.
How about this? Just I find this interesting since we're talking about Bergeron. He has a no-trade clause. He has to submit a three-team trade list. That's the only sentence that's there. So I guess what that means is if the Bruins say, okay, we'd like to trade you, Bergeron can say, okay, I'll only accept a trade to these three teams.
Would you be upset? Because say the Bruins are predicted to be sliding. That's why they have to make these moves. And they do have a little bit of room under the cap. Would you be upset if they moved Bergeron if it would make them better in the long run?
See, I don't. But see, the thing
no,
is
but
if you're,
just,
if you're
just
about,
say this. But it would make them better in the long run.
Yes, I would. I would
be very upset.
I think he's earned that. I think he's earned the right to be able to finish here. He's. I mean, especially if you're going to have Chara. I mean, Chara, the longest. He'll play one more year here, and that's probably it. If he gets the next year, because he's on a year-to-year thing. If he's gone, and then you get rid of Bergeron, where's the leadership? Like, well, I mean, where's that culture that they've built here?
You're still couching it with that he would benefit the team. I'm saying that it would make all the logical sense in the world to move
Bergeron. If you can get a huge deal, like when the Celtics traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett at the end. If you can get a deal that, then yes.
Okay, if a team is ridiculous and that's not going to happen, but okay, fair.
Yeah, Bergeron was a Selke Award finalist again this last year. I mean, at least on one end, he has a... I mean, Bergeron is a 20 to 30 goal scorer right now. He's still a 20 to 30 goal scorer, closer to 30, who's one of the best defensive forwards in the league.
I would not...
If you get, like... 2-3 first-round picks and a prospect for him, then sure. Absolutely.
I would not move him. I think that he deserves to stay.
He does deserve to stay, but if you get a sweetheart deal and you're rebuilding, this is your modifier, and they're rebuilding. They're on their way down, and they have to figure out a way how they're going to make this team good in a couple of years, and that deal comes up. If a team is so crazy and they offer you that much for Bergeron... I say you have to take a hard look at that.
John's right, because, I mean, you think about, and that's the perfect example, is with Paul Pierce. If you knew that Patrice Bergeron only had about 2 years left, and if his game had declined to the point that someone like Paul Pierce's did, everyone thought Paul Pierce was going to finish here. But, I mean, how do you say no to that deal? And you know what? Nobody killed Danny Ainge for that. And I think that if you see a player that is at the point where Pierce was, where just his game is no longer anywhere near what it used to be, kind of hopeless, you know, at that point, like it was with Paul, and you're going to be able to get that return, nobody's going to kill Sweeney for that. It's going to hurt, and it's going to suck. As much as it sucked to see Paul Pierce go, you knew and understood why.
And Pierce will always, and the other thing is, Pierce is always going to be a Celtic. He had his number retired. Bergeron's always going to be a member of the Bruins. He's going to get his number retired.
He has to finish his career here.
The odds are against it, though. The odds are against it.
I think that if you're the Bruins, that if I'm the Jacobs, I'm saying he's unmovable.
Even if you get an offer like that.
See, I think you're a bad organization if you don't take that. That's only if Patrice has declined to the extent that Paul Pierce did. You understand what I'm saying? Like right now, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the guy is still really good. He's part of one of the best lines in hockey, if not the best line in hockey. So, yeah, I wouldn't consider it now. But a couple years into
he's got 2 years left on his contract.
I wouldn't move him. I just wouldn't move him. I would say that this transcends hockey. This goes into the history of the franchise, the way the franchise is going to be looked at. I want this guy to be a part of the organization.
He will be. As soon as he retires, he'll still be.
But I just...
John's right.
This isn't going to ruin his legacy. If this ever came up, it wouldn't ruin his legacy. It wouldn't damage the organization. Everyone would understand why.
I wouldn't move.
If they are rebuilding...
They're going to have to be rebuilding a little bit, at least keeping an eye on getting costs under control, because another thing that Fluto has is to hang on to these players for the trade deadline and then move them, which is Krejci, Corrali, and Lindholm.
Yeah.
So, because I can't wait for them to get rid of Krejci. I just want them.
All three of them are entering the last year of their deal.
Yeah, and you got to move Krejci. But
there's part of me that just wants them to just start over on that second line. Just like start over.
But they've been doing that for years.
Well, they paid Coyle.
I know what you mean, but I almost want to see just like three new faces. Like just start all over again. Nothing's working.
Or if you made a mistake with Coyle and move him for less than you got him. Because they can get rid of Coyle. They're not going to get a good return on him. But if you don't think Coyle can be a second-line center, then you really screwed up. But regardless, you're all going to get pissed at me because we're not talking about the Celtics or the Patriots. But I did see the article, and I thought it was interesting.
That's interesting. I never, he's a guy you just didn't think about. But, you know, when you put it in perspective and you look at how many people that you always thought were going to finish with their organization, it almost never happens anymore.
I know. But he, to me personally, he transcends, he just is, in the history of the Bruins, he is exceptionally special. He's up there with, and listen, I don't know about the Kraut line.
So was Tom Brady, Fred.
I know, but football's a different business. I think football's a little bit of a different business. Like Ortiz. If Ortiz wanted to play this year, would he have played for the Red Sox?
Yes.
I think Bergeron's that type of player.
No one's arguing that Bergeron's a legend and is one of the best forwards in Bruins history. I just don't think it damages.
Is there another player in the market that will break that you can think of just off the top of your head that is like Bergeron that can't leave? That you wouldn't, that is up with his, that means as much to his organization as Bergeron?
Slater.
That's true. You can't move him. I mean, it would be anarchy in the streets. So, I mean, in this time of COVID, when he's working so hard on a cure.
I mean, come on, man.
Ah, how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
There's your answer.
There you go. Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
The beloved Marcus Smart.
He's my favorite Boston athlete. He is. Him and Patrice are tied. They're the two best. But.
See, my son, there is only one athlete that I say, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Bergeron.
Yeah, he's great.
Who's
man.
Younger than me, as pathetic as it is. Younger than me.
He's everything you want, man.
He's 35.
Everything you want in an athlete.
Yep. I still say, I mean, Bergeron's the guy. I'm not friends with him. I don't know him. I don't have his phone number. None of that. But just, good guy. You watch that guy. Mm-hmm. He's everything. Selfless. Maybe take the young man and young lady, my kids, to a practice and go, look at what Bergeron can do. And he doesn't do it. Because he's a solid two-way player. I'm tearing up, guys. The Burge. If I see him in another uniform, I'm going ballistic.
Yeah.
He's not a Yager who's a wine and dine him.
The odds are in your favor. Mm. The odds are very much in your favor.
Maybe they'll let me talk at the thing where they retire his jersey.
Oh, yeah.
When Rafters becomes Rafters.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bruins want us talking at anything.
What an amusement. Why? What did I do? Why? They don't like us?
Soon they forget.
Oh, that was one person. Oh, that was one person. Hey, listen, I admitted to alcoholism, and that was not true. That was not true. How dare you two? How dare you two?
I stuck up for you that day.
You did.
Did I not?
I did too.
You
did.
I stuck up for you that day.
We're not supposed to talk about it. I forgot about that. Well, maybe it will be a triumphant return for me. In fact, I'm putting in my bid now. As much as Gorman and Scalabrine wanted me to do the game in Detroit for them.
Which you got robbed of. I
got robbed
of. You got robbed
of it. I got robbed of it. So, yeah, I'm putting my bid in now. When they retire Bergeron's number,
yep.
I should be the MC. You're going to have brown tooth Jack
Edwards. Jack Edwards is going to fight you to the death.
They don't like Jack Edwards. They see him on the plane. He's a nut. You had a redeemed Fred Toucher in there. Yeah, if it's up to some people, I won't talk. But for the most part,
yeah,
they're on my side. All right, very good. They're on my side. I got very nice messages from people in the organization when I went into rehab. From now on, I'm rehab guy. It just always comes up. A year from now, people are going to go, welcome back, Fred. All right, okay, we'll be right.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. Foundation.org to get involved.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now with 9 seconds left.
Look at this. Harry's
second
inside.
And 10.
Harry's
13.
Inside,
Harry, one of three receivers right inside of Edelman and Bird. Izzo to the left. Bird get to the left of Nugent. He waits on the snap. Left foot forward. He takes it. Backs up,
Harry.
Four-man rush. He throws to the five, and the catch is made inside the three. Brought down by Harry at the two. Timeout New England with 2 seconds to go. First and goal to go.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Everyone's very happy with Cam Newton. He has played very well for the Patriots. Looks like he's healthy, obviously. I don't have a problem with the jumbo package, the last play of the game. That's up to the line. That's up to the fullback getting blown up. If you put in your best blockers and you have a guy that's 260 pounds, you score a touchdown from the one, and that's execution. That's not a coaching error.
Agreed. And, Fred, what would everyone be saying if they went with a pass play on that final play? What would everyone be saying? And it didn't work.
We would be killing them. And also, if they had in a spread package and the Seahawks blew it up, we'd all be saying, why didn't you put in your jumbo package? That's just, to be cliche, man up. Do your job, in quotations, and get off the line.
And the whole game, they'd been saying how unstoppable it was.
Yes.
And just it didn't work that time, and sometimes that happens. I'm telling you, the more I think about that game, the more I'm just... I couldn't be happier with Cam Newton. I saw somebody yesterday, I read an article, and they're right. It's like, I haven't felt that good about a loss in a long time with this team because, you know, despite them playing a very good team and coming down to the last play and then walking away with a loss, I mean, we now have a feeling of what this offense is. I mean, how many times before the season started we say, I can't predict which way this is going to go. I mean, the receivers that, you know, last year that were around Tom Brady are still there with Cam Newton, and they, according to every report, weren't any good. We didn't know what condition Cam Newton was going to be in. And you know what? Cam Newton seems to be in pretty damn good condition. His arm is in better shape than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, he's running just fine. But I think one of the best things about him is he's making N'Keal Harry work. Like, I mean, this is somebody that, last year in the limited amount of time that Tom Brady had, N'Keal Harry was becoming, there was talk of him being a bust, and there's still time. And obviously, I'm not judging everything on 2 weeks. And he had that awful fumble at the, you know, in the end zone in game one. But man, when Cam Newton, after that game, stuck up for him and was like, you know, he saved me on a bunch of plays, you know, first of all, that's something that a leader does. And it was great to hear Cam Newton do that, to try to build his confidence. And then yesterday, or Sunday rather, he had like 70-something yards, including one of the most important plays of the game, which is the one I played right there where he got to the one-yard line. He trusts N'Keal Harry, and he's trying to bring him into the fold. And if he can make that guy work the way that we all hoped that he was going to, because God knows they used a really important pick on him, but if Cam Newton can come in and make a guy work that Tom Brady couldn't, isn't that worth it alone?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good pickup. I mean, it was. There's no doubt about it. It was something that, in retrospect, you wonder why anyone, why we weren't more excited about it. But go ahead.
Well, because you just didn't know. You didn't know, and now we know. And now he's healthy, and he's playing, you know, as good as he did, you know, or close to as good as he did in his MVP year. And who knows whether he's going to be able to keep that up? I don't know. Nobody knows. And we don't know whether he's going to be able to stay healthy playing the type of football that he's playing. But I obviously like what I'm seeing. But yesterday, this was kind of funny because everybody's talking about, you know, now that he's become a success, all these bad teams who have signed these quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks to, you know, the deals that are worth more than, you know, basically minimum wage in the NFL is basically what Cam Newton is getting. And I saw this take yesterday, and this is just, this is phenomenal. Andrew Brandt, I already hate him, even if I didn't know what he was going to say, because if you look at his Twitter avatar, he's a writer for Sports Illustrated, but his Twitter avatar is his head, but it's him holding his chin as if he's thinking ever so slightly and pontificating what amazing take he's going to blow you away with. Non-ironically.
Because like, that's something that everyone does in real life. You know someone's a crap actor if they start... show me thinking, and they start rubbing their chin. You suck. No one ever does that.
It's more like... It was much less the rub, than it's the finger on the chin.
No, it's just no one does that. No one rubs their chin. If someone rubbed their chin, you'd break their nose. By the way, all this is non-sober thinking. This is all stuff in therapy I'm not supposed to do. But yes, when someone... I go to therapy every day, and this is something I'm not supposed to be doing, but screw it, this is me. And I look at myself with compassion. But yes, if you're rubbing your chin, you deserve to be smacked in the face. But go ahead, because that's an affectation that you're putting on people.
It is. So we have to call this, unfortunately. I mean...
Hot take police.
Hot take police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
And this isn't even a well-fleshed out one. It's simply a tweet. But Andrew Brandt, Mr. Pontificating the World by Stroking My Chin, said, quote, in the why did no one sign Cam Newton narrative, the Patriots should not get a free pass. He was sitting there for 4 months before they jumped in.
Oh, screw yourself. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that you know, they should have jumped in much sooner and paid him a lot more money.
Yeah. They should have blown up their salary cap to fit that $20 million price tag.
Why wait for the stock to drop?
Yeah.
Buy it before it skyrockets.
That's just brilliant.
You get in when it's real high.
Good journalism there, Poindexter. Nice job.
Yeah, good. I want to see your portfolio, stupid. That's right. Buy high. That's what everyone says. Buy high. Buy high, and then watch it drop, and then watch it go up again. Just, you want to make that penny when you could have made a million. What a dumb, what is he talking about?
I have no idea.
These dummies waited around for the value to get real low, then jumped in and got him on a song, and now he's going to command a ton of money. Yeah, what good for you, Patriots. Sitting there, you could have paid five times as much money for him, at least five times as much money for him. But there you were, like idiots, waiting for his value to drop and then pouncing on it. Well, I don't even know what to say. What are the replies?
It's one of the all time.
There's no. Oh, forget it. My stomach is starting to cramp. What is he? Oh, my God.
I gotta check out the
This is the Jim Cramer of the fanny loan situation.
What?
When he said, don't pull out of the market before everything went to hell.
Fannie Mae.
Yeah. When he was that day.
Yes.
Yeah, everything's fine. There's nothing to see here.
He writes for the MMQB, doesn't he? We talked to Bert Breer about his pensivity, as it were.
Yeah, he does. He does write for the MMQB as well. Oh, his picture of him just with his finger on his
So Bert,
and it's not ironic either.
So Bert, when you talk to Andrew Brandt, does he stroke his chin? Be great.
Yeah. Well, don't give them any credit.
Everyone's stupid. The Patriots were smart. Then again, if you look at the teams, there weren't a lot of teams that had had a need for Cam Newton this year because they were locked into younger quarterbacks.
Yeah, there was timing involved, too. I mean, the Patriots had only so much cap room, and Newton decided that he was willing to take no money.
There's nothing that they did wrong.
Of course not.
There's no, literally
they did everything right. You know what?
Nothing they did wrong.
Credit their research. Like, credit them knowing what the market value of Cam Newton was and also knowing that he was somebody worth taking a chance on. So they were able to do enough research on the physical side of it and also on the money side of it. They win. It's like, it worked. They win. How can you possibly kill a team for doing everything about as well as you could possibly do it in this scenario?
Yeah, like, I'm speculating real estate at the beginning of the coronavirus. Now, I know this virus might wreak havoc on the real estate market. But what I'm going to do is I want to buy this building now and then watch it tank. And then when the vaccine comes out, watch it come up again.
And then sell it for one penny more than I bought
it for. Exactly. It's just anti-everything. Hire this guy as a GM. I want to buy him when it's real high, watch their value crash, and then watch it go up again. So there you go. Twitter is a wonderful thing. Just throw out anything that you have there. Throw out everything. You know what, fantasy guys? Go get Saquon Barkley right now. He might come back for the last game of the season. I don't know. He's not, but that's what you would. That was the same kind of thinking. Ugh. I mean, it's just, what are you trying to do? Stop talking in the background. Are you outside, Rich?
No. So there's something weird going on here. Like, if you hear the outside, it's because there is like 55 mile per hour wind gusts here right now. It's been ridiculously all the boats and stuff are canceled. As a matter of fact, yesterday there was dudes Point Break style riding the 50-year storm. I mean, like, it's like these guys who were surfing, and it, like, these waves looked insane.
Is that the hurricane out at sea kicking up all that?
It's something from the storm, but like we're getting killed. Hurricane Teddy,
Teddy, yeah. Get off the bridges.
like, this is one of the first mornings where I woke up and, like, the entire house, you can just hear it whistling outside. Mm. So we're getting thrashed right now. So that's probably why you're hearing that outside. That wasn't a bird. That was actually the whistle of the wind.
It's a Natalie Wood situation. All right. There you go. The Kennedy jokes are very funny. All right. We will be back in just a moment here.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Headline.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Mass every Tuesday at 2 during Patriots season. Now back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
A real quick update, by the way. Andrew Brandt has deleted that tweet. He got killed so hard. Like, the comments to him are still there. Like, if you check, like, people are still saying, I mean, you know, everyone's just like killing the guy. Allowed his market price to fall, monitored his health recovery, jumped in and actually signed him. Why compete against yourself in a free agency market? And, like, everyone's just killing the guy. And so, I mean, he got so freaked out by the negative. I guess he thought he was going to rally the troops on this one. Yeah, Patriots. And even people who don't seem to like the Patriots are like, what are you talking about? That's the dumbest thing you could possibly put out there into the universe.
Yeah, I'm not a big Patriot fan, but what are you talking? I mean, there's reality. I mean, there's just a time where you say this is completely idiotic, that it doesn't even make sense. But there you go, Andrew Brandt. I don't know who he is, but I don't like him. So now he's got my attention.
They were the only ones to get him. Why? What free pass are you talking about? They paid him what his market was.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
By the way, is The Deer Hunter a good movie?
The Deer Hunter is half of a good movie. The first half, so the first, hour and a half is just trying to get you to sympathize with these people who are about to go to war. Show that they're human beings, and there's this, you know, huge, like, dance, and they're all hanging out at a bar and having fun. And then the second half are the harsh realities of war. And then there was the whole, you know, Russian roulette where they made them, you know, put the gun to their head and all that.
See, that's what I saw. I just watched the Russian roulette scene yesterday.
It's okay.
And I'm like, Deer Hunter, and I'm like, this is nice stuff. I'm liking this Russian roulette scene. But
So you got to go through an hour and a half. It should have never been that long. And, like, the whole thing was, the reason it got, like, acclaim was because you really felt they, you know, you felt for them as people, and then you saw the horrors of what could happen to them. They could have done all of that. A good director could have done that in 30 minutes. Yeah. Could have, like, established all of that. But it went on and on and on and on. But the second half, Fred, is awesome. It's like a reverse Full Metal Jacket. The first half of Full Metal Jacket, amazing. Second half, sucked. And that's kind of, it's like Stripes. It's like a reverse Stripes. The first half of the movie, Stripes, excellent.
There was second a clear half, line. Sucked. And there was a clear line in Stripes where they should have stopped.
That fat Jack is the clear line. Like, yeah, at that part, right there, up to that point, it's amazing. After that, sucked.
I don't think I've seen the second half of Stripes.
Really?
Yeah.
Where they go to Czechoslovakia, that the whole thing, and they crash through the barrier?
Because
and
when I was in Cub Scouts, we had a troop leader who had, by the way, a pit in his living room.
Oh, nice!
And to this, and his wife was so fat she had to walk with a cane.
Oh, boy.
But apparently they were swingaroonies. This was a swinging situation. But in Cub Scouts, we had a talent show. and he insisted we did the stripes thing with the guns.
Okay.
So I have a which I didn't find funny at all. So I have a very, like, I'm triggered by stripes.
Because the chicken crossed the road to get from the left to the right. Isn't that what it was?
Yes, and he made us memorize that because he thought it was the most hysterical thing in the world, and all we wanted to do was the Blues Brothers. And he would not let us. He picked another 80s comedy, early 80s comedy, and for that I will always have a vendetta against stripes. But the Deer Hunter, I was reading something Colin Quinn did in an interview, and he likened something to the Russian roulette scene. So I saw Christopher Walken blow his brains out. But I guess that's the end of the movie, kind of.
Well, that's one of the more stressful scenes in any movie ever filmed. And what happened to that director afterwards, his name was Michael Cimino, he ended up getting basically carte blanche to do whatever he wanted, and they gave him all of this cash, and he made this film called Heaven's Gate with Chris Christopherson, which was, I think, like almost 4 hours long, and it just sucked. And I think it bankrupted
Paramount.
That studio.
I think it bankrupted Paramount. Yeah, Heaven's Gate is, and there's a million books about it, but yeah, I saw the Russian roulette scene, and I'm like, okay, because I don't have a lot of time to sit down and watch a movie without my kids around, so I was like, oh, I'll watch The Deer Hunter at some point, and then I thought, oh, this is long, so.
Really long.
Maybe I just watched the two Russian roulette scenes, and that's it, because I haven't seen the one where they're in Vietnam.
Fred, if you hated the wedding scene, you hated the wedding scene from The Godfather, you were going to loathe the first half of the year. See, I liked the wedding scene for The Godfather. I thought it was great, and I know you thought it was long. But, I mean, while that's going on, all this great stuff is being established. You know, Robert Duvall's character is bringing people back to go see Marlon Brando. See, I thought that in the Sonny, you can realize just, you know, what an a-hole he is.
I have grown to like The Godfather 1. Now, I don't hold it in... I like The Godfather 1 now more than I like The Godfather.
Still hate the wedding scene, though?
I think that it's...
See, I'm with Rich. I like the wedding scene a
there's
lot.
There's a point of these directors in the 70s for the grand time of the Robert Evans and things like that, where they were given too much leash, in my opinion, is that they were just being masturbatory for the sake of being masturbatory. But I now, as I've grown older and I've revisited The Godfather... 1 and 2. I've still not watched The Godfather 3. I know Rich.
It's not bad. Godfather 3 is not a bad movie.
There's only so much time.
Not the first two.
There's only so much time. So when I was in quarantine, I had all this time. I decided to watch other things. But I now have grown to appreciate The Godfather. But I don't know if I can sit through The Deer Hunter. I don't think that that's something that can happen.
You'd love Miller's Crossing. Have you ever seen that one?
Yes, I have seen Miller's Crossing. Okay, and so I did like it.
I love that movie. Yeah, that's an underrated, like, mob gangster movie. Now, it's obviously from a different era than that one. It's like more like the 40s, I think, 30s, 40s, whatever era that was. But that's like an all-timer, in my opinion. When you look at mob movies, it's Goodfellas. Oh, God, you probably got to put Reservoir Dogs up there as well. Godfather 1 and 2. And then I'd put Miller's Crossing up there in the top five.
Well, it's funny.
Probably my five favorites.
When I was in quarantine, I reread the book, the Henry Hill book that Nicholas...
Oh, Goodfellas is based on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I forget what it was called, but I just read it again. And it's funny, when I read it when I was younger, I was like, wow, these guys are so great. And then I read it again, and I'm like, why did they do all this stuff? Like, their lives sucked.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't glamorous at all.
No, they lived like bums. Except they got to screw other chicks, but then those chicks became huge problems. So looking back on it, I'm like, why did I think this was cool when I was younger?
So this was crazy. I don't know if you heard this, but like when I first started in radio, I was working for the morning show. And they had, like, before I'd gotten there, Henry Hill was a guest. Henry Hill.
Oh, he used to do Stern all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So he would, like, you know, he had how to cook Italian, like a cookbook. So we had him on, and we had his phone number. So Ray Liotta was promoting a movie, the guy who played Henry Hill in Goodfellas, and he was in studio. And we thought, hey, how cool would it be to surprise Ray Liotta with on the phone? It would be the real Henry Hill and have them talk to each other. So we're in the middle of this interview, and everything's going well with Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta seems like a cool guy. And we say, hey, Ray, we have a special guest on the phone for you, someone from your past. Hello, who is this? And you hear this, it's Henry Hill. And Ray Liotta gives us a look like, you effing a-holes. And he's like, hey, what's up, Henry? And he's like, hey, man, you know, it's been a long time. It seems like you've been avoiding me. Apparently, no. Henry Hill won't stop bugging Ray Liotta. And I guess, like, during the filming of the movie, he kept trying to get on the set and, like, tell him how to do things. And then you've got, you know, Scorsese here, like, trying to just do everything to keep him out of the way. Like, dude, get the hell out of here. And I guess that this dude is the bane of Ray Liotta's existence. He will not stop bugging him. And I thought Ray Liotta was going to kill us at the end of it. Like, he was so pissed off that we had let him on the air. Like, it was just over. Like, he didn't even say goodbye. After the interview was over, it was done, and he left with his publicist, and it was over.
Yeah, he got Henry Hill into rehab because he was such a problem. Henry Hill got, like, three DUIs. He was just all drunk calling in radio shows. I think we talked to him at BCN. He's dead now. But, yeah, I think that we talked to him at BCN. He was just drunk calling radio stations. You could have him on whenever you wanted. Yeah, he's a piece of crap. He was a big piece of crap. All right, we'll be right back. Thank you. No deer hunter for me.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Crowder challenged by Jaylen Brown, who jumps in the passing lane, has the steal. Jaylen Brown goes the distance and puts an exclamation point on what might very well be the game of his NBA life.
Man, has he stepped up, man, with money on the table.
.985 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and the Celtics, game four after the long wait, tomorrow night, 8:30 tip, you can hear it right here at 98.5 the Sports Hub, with Grandy and Max that you just heard right now, Jaylen Brown, they gave him the ball. He actually was involved in the offense in the first three quarters.
He wanted the damn ball. Like, that was the main difference, is that he was that guy from tip-off. He wanted to back up all of his words and all the fighting. He wanted to say, hey, this was something that turned into a positive. There's the irrational part of me, the rational fan part, and then there's the practical fan part of me that is fighting on this time off. Like, I know that having Gordon Hayward to get an extra couple of days of rest after saying that he was winded and that he wasn't in the right shape to play all those minutes that he played, I know that that's the right thing. But when you play a game like that, there's the irrational part of me that thinks, you just kind of want to ride that hot hand and get to game four almost immediately afterwards.
I think you've played so many games in so little amount of time. You get like a day off, and there were back-to-backs in there during the seeding games, and there hasn't been a break. And you heard some of the players say yesterday, we got some people that are beat up, that we need a couple extra days to get everyone right. And as much time off, first of all, if there wasn't this amount of time off, then Brad Stevens wouldn't have played Gordon Hayward 30 minutes in game three.
He admitted that, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Hayward needs the extra time. So I'm all for it. If 4 days off, let's hit the ground running. And I think at this point in the season, you're not going to forget how to play basketball. I don't think you're going to lose momentum. And even if there isn't such a thing, that's one thing we're learning in the Toronto series. There's really no such carryover. I mean, every game is its own entity. It doesn't matter what happened before.
I also think that Jimmy Butler's kind of got Bruce Arians disease and that he's incapable of BSing when he's talking to the press. And he said after the game, he goes, it gets old playing from behind constantly. He said, especially against a great team like Boston and what they bring to the table. He said, to be honest, it gets exhausting. So, I mean, sure. And that's, you know, because they had to, you know, continually try to get back into the game over and over again. They were very successful doing it several times. But, I mean, after a while, I'm sure that's just got to kick your ass. And, you know, that's something to keep an eye on because, I mean, how many points do they have to be ahead by for you to feel comfortable?
You can't.
That the Heat are completely
out of it.
There's
no lead that's safe. Even if they're up 25 in the third quarter, I'm not happy with any of it. If they're up 25 with 4 minutes to go, I think that's enough. Although they were up 16 with 4.5 to go in game three, it almost let that one get away.
They won by 11. Everyone's blowing that out of proportion.
They had it down to 5 with the ball. I'm not. There were some uncomfortable moments in that last minute, but ultimately, Rich, it goes back to what I was saying before. The Celtics are the better team. If they play well and continue to play well for the balance of the game, they'll win. And Miami doesn't have a say in it. The key is when the Celtics stop playing, Miami's more than good enough to climb back in, because give Miami credit, they never stop playing, regardless of what the score is, regardless of how bad it looks. Miami never gets down on themselves, and they have enough good guys to do damage when it gets close.
All right, we'll be do the headlines, no commercials here, just the headlines.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot, and the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement, 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.